Hello, I'm Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, President of Reasons for Faith International Ministries and your Bible teacher here on Truth to Live By. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us, and I want to extend an invitation for you to join us each and every week at this same time and on this same station. It is our prayer that God is using these programs to minister to you wherever you might be in your spiritual life. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have once again to come and study your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit would use this message we're going to study today and apply it to our lives so that we may be able to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ, grow spiritually, and live lives that bring honor and glory to you. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, the title of today's message is Faith. The spiritual tool we can't live without. We know that faith is an important part of the Christian experience. In fact, without faith, it is virtually impossible to even be a Christian. It requires faith. Faith is a gift from God that He gives the person who listens to the gospel so that that person can understand the message of the gospel, believe the message of the gospel, and respond to the message of the gospel. It is by faith that we are saved through the grace of God in Christ alone. We are saved by faith alone, not by works. We don't contribute to our salvation in any way, shape, or form. We are saved by Christ alone because of His grace alone, through the faith alone that He gives us to believe and to respond to that message which we have heard. But faith is also an intricate and part of our experience as Christians. In fact, we not only are saved by faith, but we live by faith. We live by faith. Faith is absolutely essential, and that's why we say that faith is that spiritual tool that we cannot live without. Faith is absolutely necessary if we are going to, one, be saved, and two, once saved, grow spiritually into the men and women that God wants us to be. Without faith, we will never develop into the people of God that He wants us to be. So today we're going to point out three things about faith. First, we're going to discuss or define or say what faith is. Then we're going to talk about the importance of faith in the life of a believer. And thirdly, we're going to talk about how we get the necessary faith in order to grow spiritually into the people God wants us to be. God saved you, listen, God saved you in order to grow you spiritually. God wants you to experience Him fully, completely, and in a way that you cannot come to know Him in unless faith is an intricate part of how you live your Christian life. So let's talk about what it is. What is faith? Well, faith is essentially trusting God enough to do what He says. That's a simple definition. Faith is trusting God enough to do what He says. And I want to look at a couple of scriptures. James chapter 2. And actually, we may not look at both passages unless we have enough time, but James chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 14, and it says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now let me tell you what this passage is not saying. This passage is not saying that in order to be saved, you must contribute good works to faith. What this passage is saying is that faith, apart from a demonstration of real faith, is no faith at all. In other words, if I claim to have faith, there must be evidence in my life to support that claim, and the evidence is good works. We're talking about good works after salvation, not good works for salvation. So that's what James is talking about. If you claim to be a Christian, but there's no evidence to support your claim, and that's good works after your salvation, then you really are not a person of faith, and you're not in a personal relationship with Christ. Your faith must be supported with evidence. And then he goes on and says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Now think about that, because we're going to come back to that. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God. Listen, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In other words, once again, a person is justified by exercising a faith that is evidenced by good works after salvation. And the point is this: faith is trusting God enough to do what he says. The illustration here is Abraham. Abraham offered Isaac, was willing to sacrifice his son's life because he trusted God enough to do whatever it is God was going to do, either resurrect Isaac or whatever it is God was going to do. Abraham believed that if he demonstrated his faith by his actions, first he had to have faith, then he supported that faith by what he was willing to do and was in the process of doing. But he did it because he trusted that somehow God would be faithful himself in bringing either Isaac back to life or whatever it is that he believed God would do. And God honored Abraham's faith because Abraham proved that his faith was genuine. So listen, are you trusting God enough to do what he asks you to do? Another passage we can look at is 1 John chapter 2 in verses 3 through 5. Listen to what it says. We know that we have come to know him. Listen, if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. But notice that first we are in him, and then the evidence of that comes after the fact. In other words, I have trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I have exercised faith, the gift God has given me to be able to respond to the gospel. And once I exercised that faith, it was proved to be genuine because I have now obeyed what God has asked of me to ask me to do. That's the point. If we claim to be Christians, if we claim to be believers, if we claim to be people of faith, but we do not obey His commands, then we are a people who have proven actually not to trust God, and therefore we will not do what He says, and have ultimately proved not to be in a personal relationship with Him. Okay? Obedience is the demonstration of our trust in God, and that trust is faith. Now, 4 points I want to make about what faith is before we move on to the second point. Faith has no room for doubt. I want to go back to Daniel chapter 3. And many of you are well acquainted with this passage, but Daniel chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading at verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. Now listen to this. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown, listen to this, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And I don't want to go further because we're not going to have the time to cover all the points. But listen, there is no room for doubt if you're a person of faith. These three individuals believed that God would deliver them from the fiery furnace. They did not doubt their God, thus illustrating the point that faith has no room for doubt. Listen, faith is trusting God enough to do what He says. They refused to bow to the God that Nebuchadnezzar had erected for them to worship because their faith allowed them to completely and wholly believe God without a doubt that He would rescue them. In fact, their confidence was so high that that they went as far as to say, even if He did not, we would still refuse to worship the image of gold. There was no doubt in their mind about the faithfulness of God. They trusted their God. Secondly, faith has no room for fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Listen to what Paul says. For God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear. Another passage I want to look at, Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Listen to what Paul says here. I consider that our present Romans chapter 8, verse 15, For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Listen. Faith has no room for fear, because that which God has given us dispels fear from the life of the believer. Listen, you are a son or daughter of the living God. God has you, has your life, your world in His hand. Nothing happens in the life of the believer aside from God allowing it to happen in order to grow and stretch the faith of His child. What is there for us to fear when our God is the God of the Bible, the God of the universe, and when we are in the palm of His hand? Third thing, faith has power in itself. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'm going to start reading in verse 21. And you're very well familiar with this story as well. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us, let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given to them and prepared it. Then they called the name of the Lord. Well, you know the story. By faith, Elijah called on the name of the true and living God, and because of the faith that Elijah demonstrated, God answered and proved himself to all those there that he was indeed the only true living God. Faith has power in itself. Elijah's faith was demonstrated, was proved by the power of God who honored the prophet's faith. And lastly, faith defies logic. Before we move on from what faith is, faith defies logic. Listen, there's a lot of things that happen in the world. And certainly we have record of a lot of things, and I'm not going to read them because you can read them particularly in the Gospels. Look at the miracles that Jesus performed. These are supernatural events that apart from divine intervention would have never happened. They defy logic. Faith defies logic. Faith believes that which the human mind believes to be impossible, illogical. But that is what faith does. It defies logic. All right, so that's what faith is. Now, secondly, how important is it? Well, to put it simply, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 28 through 30. Listen to what it says. "Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses." Let me see. I think I'm on the wrong place. Hebrews chapter 10. I might have written down the wrong reference here. Well, let's look at Hebrews 11:6. That will make the point we're trying to make. Look at Hebrews 11:6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Listen, why is faith important? Because according to Scripture, without faith, we cannot please God. You know why? Because if we are not a people of faith, then we are a people who are saying we do not trust God. It is impossible to please God without faith. And if you are a person of faith, he rewards you for being a person of faith. We must believe that he exists, and we must exercise our faith in obedience, and God will reward that obedience as he's done in the lives of millions of Christians throughout the church history. Why is it important? As simple as that, folks. I mean, there's a lot of other passages that we can look at that will tell us why else faith is important. But it really all comes together in that simple statement, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, how can we get the faith that we need? Well, if we go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and look at verses 3 through 6, so watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive me. Forgive him. Listen to what Scripture says. How do we get the faith that we need in order to please God? Well, we get the faith that we need by doing that which God tells us to do. And in this case, it is to forgive a brother who comes to us in repentance, regardless of the amount of times that he has sinned against us. And it keeps on saying, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Listen, increase our faith. And he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Remember the mustard seed principle. It is not about how much faith you have, it's about who your faith is in. So let me ask you, who is your faith in? It doesn't matter how much of it you have right now. It matters who you have it in. If your faith is in the right person, your faith will grow as God causes it to grow through the trials and tribulations, through your quiet time, through your Bible study, through your fellowship with believers, through your sufferings for Christ, through life and by life. The most important thing is to understand that faith must be in Jesus. For if it's not in Jesus, it is a futile faith. It is not a faith that will save you, first of all. And if you're a Christian, but you're not doing what God says you ought to be doing, and you're not showing and demonstrating evidence of genuine faith, then you have become stagnant and you've opened the door indeed for the devil to work his way into your life and make you and cause you to become absolutely ineffective for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would take these words that we have studied, these passages of scriptures, and just make them real to our hearts and lives. We love you and we thank you for your grace and mercy. We give you all the honor and glory, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. Would you please consider prayerfully supporting us both with your prayers and financially? It is because of the contributions and the partnership of God's people that we are able to continue to bring this program to you each week on this radio station. We need your partnership so that we may be able to continue preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. It is indeed our prayer that God is being glorified through the work that we do. If you are a believer, it is our prayer that God is using this to strengthen your faith and equipping you for service so that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom in this world. And if you are an individual who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we pray that you would take this opportunity to do so simply by praying this simple prayer. Father, I acknowledge I am a sinner. I acknowledge I can do nothing to save myself or contribute to my salvation. I believe Jesus is who he claimed to be and who the Bible claims him to be. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to create me anew, and to give me the gift of eternal life. For it is in his name that I pray. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that you have been adopted and brought into the family of God, and you are now his child. Will you please let us know if you've made that decision so that we may be able to contact you in return and rejoice along with you. If you wanted to request any CD copies of any of our messages or any other resources that we have, we are asking that you do so in writing. And I'll give you our contact information in just a moment. I also want to make you aware of our website. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. If you're requesting any resources, please address your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. Please visit our website where you can get a great deal of information about us at www.rffiministries.org. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.